व्यासं ततोजयम् उदीरये नश्च प्रायेषु अवतरेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवा भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. सो दिस वीक वी आर स्टार्टिंग चैप्टर नंबर 18 वर्स 1-9. लास्ट वीक मधुगुरंग गुरु एंडेड विद चैप्टर 17 लास्ट कपल ऑफ वर्सेस. इफ यू कैन मूव दिस लिटिल बिट हियर.
You want to move
for it? No, that's it. Okay. If you want to do it, then.
No, just cutting that, that's why you move. I'm just
on my
mind.
You want to make it a little bigger? How can you make it
bigger? Just move it back. Don't move it back when the light is on. Sometimes it will conk off.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sometimes.
You have filament, right? No, filament.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
This is good. Yeah, this is good.
So I just summarize what happened in chapter 17. So in chapter 17 we see that the bull and the cow in form of Mother Earth and Dharma, they are mistreated by the personality of Kali. So Maharaj Parikshit, when he saw that the cow and the bull is mistreated by the personality of Kali, he being the king, he took action. So he wanted to...
You can sit there.
Okay. So he was a very dutiful king. So he wanted to perform his duty by killing the personality of Kali. But the personality of Kali was very smart. So as soon as he saw that he will get killed, so what he surrendered to Maharaj Parikshit. So that is in this section of this verse, 24-36, he surrenders. So as a Kshatriya king, once somebody surrenders, your duty is to protect them. That's your duty. So Maharaj Parikshit, being a very pious king and following all the rules and regulation, you know, he gives him the protection, though he knew that the age of Kali is going to cause harm to his own people. So he said, okay, I'll protect you because you have surrendered unto me, but I'll give you specific places to live. Like, you know, some rogue is there in the society, so if they commit crime, then they are given a specific place to stay, that is the jail. So similarly, this is not a physical jail. So Maharaj Parikshit gave him a place where he gave him 5 places to stay, right? So these are the 5 places where gambling, drinking, prostitution and animal slaughter takes place, and where gold is hoarded. Right? That is the place he can take shelter.
Yeah, ISKCON Matajis also have gold.
Yeah, so hoarding is different than... No, it's not a controversy, very simple. Hoarding is different than something like, for example, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, they had a lot of gold, right?
Boats
of gold. So they kept 25% for their sustainment. So that is not hoarding. Hoarding means there is a need and there is a want. Right? So for your need, you can keep like whatever amount minimum is required. But our wants are generally more than the needs. So we are trying to hoard the things. That is the hoarding. So that is okay. So Maharaj Parikshit drives Kali from his kingdom, then re-establishes the religion and he begins his reign. So then comes to...
Same as a need and want. Yeah. 50% should be given to temple. Then the rest 20% keep for yourself, 20% for the friends and family.
No, yes. In total transparency, right?
Yeah.
Matajis do talk about when the price of gold goes down, you want to buy more. And save that, isn't that?
Yeah.
That is hoarding, actually.
But see, they are using it for a purpose, that, you know, they are not trying to use those for their own sense gratification. They are trying to save it for future purpose. So that is, there is a slight tendency, that's what I think, slight tendency.
It's
a
overlapping.
Overlapping.
It's not clear cut. There is an overlap.
So there begins chapter 18. So in chapter 18, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, and 7 sections. Totally. We are going to go to the first two sections of chapter 18. The first four words and the fifth to nine. There are two sections.
You are paid so, computer science, like a data structure.
So this is done by Guru Janra. I have just put it in a presentation. So it's not nothing of mine. So in the beginning, after hearing this pastime of Maharaj Parikshit and Kali, then all the sages and Suta Goswami, they were all excited to hear more about Maharaj Parikshit. So this chapter is about Maharaj Parikshit. In fact, the whole first canto, the central role is Maharaj Parikshit. And in fact, the whole Bhagavatam, because it's a discussion. Through him, we are getting this information. So he is the central character of the whole Bhagavatam, particularly canto 1. So here, the pastime where how Maharaj Parikshit was born, and during his birth, before his birth, he was protected by the Lord. And that we saw earlier, that what happened was Ashwathama, he released a Brahmastra weapon to kill the, first of all he killed all the five sons, and then he knew that in the womb of Uttara his son is going to come, so he wants to kill that son too. And that's why he wanted to destroy the whole Pandavas family. So he released the Brahmastra. Now Brahmastra is such a weapon that it can be targeted. So it's like a nuclear weapon of this age. Is like you just drop a bomb, everything is finished, right? Brahmastra is not like that. You give a target and you say, okay, if you target this particular thing, it will go and only destroy that. And it is irretractable. Once you release it, you cannot stop it. Only the way to stop is the Lord can stop it. The Lord can stop the Brahmastra.
Or other Brahmastra
can stop it. Contract it. But not by any other means. So when he releases that, then what happens is the Lord in form of super soul, he protects. And that's a discussion which is going to happen in the very first section. So the first four verses is Suta Goswami begins to describe Maharaj Parikshit's life, which contains wonderful dealings with Krishna. And the last one, the section 5 to 9 will be Suta Goswami tells how king dealt with the appearance of Kali within his kingdom. So let's recite this first verse.
Yavai Drauni Astra Vipulasta Namut Tundudire Prataha Anugrahat Bhagavataya Krishnasya Advitarmana.
Sri Suta Goswami said, due to the mercy of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Maharaj Parikshit, though struck by the weapon of the son of Drona in his mother's womb, could not be burned. So here, you see that the Brahmastra is trying to kill, but the Lord comes as a super soul. This pastime we already seen. And this is a very wonderful pastime. He is completely under the protection of the Lord. He cannot do anything. Anyway, we cannot do anything. But in this particular case, he is in the womb, stuck. So then, cannot even move their head. So he saw, that he had a darshan of the Lord right about that time. And he saw that how the Lord protected him. In fact, he was dead. The Lord gave him another body. Another life. So this
darshan was visual darshan or darshan as Paramatma in the heart?
I am not sure about it.
Actually, that picture, if you see, is looking directly at the Lord.
Is it clear in the Bhagavatam that he had a visual darshan?
Yes. Yeah.
Sees. Okay.
Because Dhruva had sees in the heart, and then the Lord manifests.
Manifests in the front.
But here it's not
question
of giving darshan
in the Paramatma. In his heart,
he comes out again, protects them.
Yeah.
Physically.
Yeah.
He stops them. And then that's why his name is Parikshit. He is observing everybody to see the Lord again.
Yeah.
Where is the form of the Lord which I have seen inside?
Manifests.
That's the name. Parikshit is observer, right?
Yeah.
Parikshit means one who
examines.
Pariksha means exam. Actually, when we are in school, right, you say Pariksha. Today, what is a Pariksha? Pariksha means exam, test.
Yeah.
So, what he is Pariksha, what he is doing is, because he has seen Krishna in the womb, when he comes out, every person who he meets, is this the same person I met?
Same
person. Is this the same person I met? So he's examining each person. Is this the same person I met in the womb?
Confirming.
That's why he's called Pariksha.
Yeah.
The one who conducts exam.
Yeah. So the power which he was protected by Lord Krishna, right? Now similarly, you know, we find a lot of people in this world who are very powerful. So I heard classes, and the classes at Prabhupada Maharaj is saying that the power one person has, actually it is the power of the Lord. If Lord's power is not there, it's withdrawn, then you are not a powerful person. Example, Arjuna. Right? Many examples are there, but Arjuna is a very typical example where Arjuna is the most powerful person at that time in the world when the Kurukshetra war was happening. As soon as Krishna left, withdrew his power, he could not even fight with the Yadus who were there with the sticks. So, the cowherds, sorry. Who were there with the sticks, and he could not even fight with them. So, the power which he was given was actually bestowed by the Lord himself. So, we will see, you know, a lot of time we become, by the mercy of the Lord, powerful. So, whatever we think or whatever we are doing happens. And if we become pride of that particular thing, or proud of that, then the Lord can immediately withdraw that. So this is a lesson we need to learn from this, that the power which is we have is actually given by Krishna and can be withdrawn anytime. So you must be very grateful to the Lord when such kind of power is bestowed upon us. Verse 2.
Brahmakopa Brahma Sutrasya Tasta Prana Vipyata Nasamara Uru Bhayat Bhagavati Arpita Saya.
So there is a word like the last word, Bhagavati Arpita Saya. Srila Prabhupada in the purport expands on this particular verse. Let's read the translation. Furthermore, Maharaj Parikshit was always consciously surrendered to the personality of Godhead, and therefore he was neither afraid not overwhelmed by fear due to a snake bird which was to bite him because of the fury of a Brahmana boy. So you must be all knowing the pastime, what happened, right? He puts the snake, and his son Sringi, he curses Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit, as we know, he was very powerful. He could retract the curse because he had power of Krishna. He could retract the curse, but he didn't do it. And he accepted that as the mercy of the Lord. So those kind of devotees, Srila Prabhupada explains, are Bhagavati Arpitashayaha. Or in other words, they are called as Narayana Parayana. So the Narayana Parayana are self-surrendered devotees, and they have manifesting certain characteristics. So Srila Prabhupada lists all the characteristics. So what are the characteristics of Narayana Parayana, self-surrendered devotees? He is never afraid of place, person, or death. He is never afraid of that because he is completely surrendered to the Lord. Because of his complete surrender and backing, you know, a lot of time we see that, you know, dog is barking because there is another big dog in behind him. I have seen those kind of pictures, you know. So because of that extra strength, you know, this small thing is showing its courage. Right? It's a material tendency, right? Like children, you know, when the parents are there, they'll be very bold. As soon as they see that they're fighting within each other, and as soon as they see their parents, they become very bold. Because they have a backing. That my parent will protect me. So similarly, the Narayana Parayana devotees, their self-surrendered devotees, always depends on the protection of the Lord. That Lord Rakhe Krishna Mareke. Mare Krishna Rakhe. If Krishna wants to protect, who will kill me? If Krishna wants to kill, who will protect me? So they are in that mindset. Right? Now that mindset is not easy to practice. It has to be practiced consciously. Every action which we are doing, you know, we have to practice that. Otherwise it won't happen. So that's why this last point, that practices this. He knows in all condition and circumstances, constantly remembering Supreme Lord is essential, and therefore he practices this constantly. And that's why Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita chapter 8 verse 7, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yuddhacha. Mam anusmara yuddhacha. Maya arpita manobuddhir mame vashansi asamsaya. So before that verse, Tasmat, Tasmat means therefore. You fight constantly remembering me. But before that verse, what was the verse? Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. Whatever you think at the time of death, you will attain that state. And that's why Bhagavatam, you know, in second canto, first chapter, sixth verse, it said, Ante Narayana Smriti. Whatever you do, if you cannot remember Lord Krishna or Narayana at the time of death, then everything what you have done is kind of useless. The Prabhupada says, life is the preparation and death is examination. So what is that examination? Ante Narayana Smriti. So the translation of this, the highest perfection of the human life achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic power, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty, is to remember the personality of God at the end of the life. Ante Narayana Smriti. Now whether you remember in the pure form or whether you remember in the impure form doesn't matter, because Krishna's name, even if you take a, like the example is Ajamila. He just took this, the name of his son, Narayana. But the Vishnudutta still came. Somehow or other. So that is the whole goal of the Narayana Parayana. They know that this is what I want to attain. Ante Narayana Smriti. And that's why he constantly practices it. He gives equal importance to heaven and hell, because they are different conditions of living for the person. So if you are constantly remembering Krishna, it doesn't matter whether a person is in heaven or hell, because it's just another condition. Okay. Like yesterday we were talking in Bhagavad Gita class that, you know, I was talking about to one Mataji. She had a question. So anyway, it came to a point where I gave one particular example about how difficult is the role of Yamraj. Yamraj is a Mahajan, right? His role is, what is his job? His job is to punish everybody. He is a Vaishnava. His job is to punish everybody. Think about this, that we are put into such position where our job is nothing but to punish. So difficult, actually. Right. And another example was Mother Kali, you know, because they offer cut all these animals. That's where the actual example came from. She was asking about Mother Kali. So Mother Kali is a devotee. How do we know that? I'll give the example of this Jada Bharat, where she came out to protect his devotee instead of, and she killed his bhakta, the dacoits, her bhaktas. So she is a devotee actually. But in that, she has a tough role to accept. She has taken that duty where people are coming and cutting the animals right in front of her, and she is accepting it. So when we see this devotee is in such a difficult role and playing such a difficult thing, we should be, you know, inspired that, you know, whatever services which we are given is, you know, very simple actually, very straightforward. But these devotees are put in such a situation where we don't want to even do those services.
So Devi Kali, is that her eternal position? Eternally she has to accept that offerings?
She is expansion of Mother Durga actually. Everything is expansion of Radha.
Yeah, no,
so that is one.
Is Kali's position, Mother Kali's position, to just keep accepting that? Or is it also a position where they change roles, somebody else will take
it? I am not sure. Generally, demigods are position. Like Lord Brahma is a position.
Right.
Like Shiva is not a position. Lord Shiva is. But I am not sure about that.
That's a very tough position. Yeah. Eternally,
yeah.
All the expansions of Radharani are
eternal.
That's what.
Yeah.
Miss Lakshmi Devi's position eternal.
It's not like
but it, she is in the spiritual world, you know, but material world like Durga Devi. So whether
like Yamaraj got a little relief, he came as Durga.
Yeah.
But Mother Kali doesn't seem to get relief. She's always.
So I'm not sure about that.
I don't know.
So anyway, that's what I'm saying, that you know, a pure devotee, they just take this, that thing which is given to them as a service, as an offering to the Lord. And because of that, this is, you know, there's a lot of purification in that process, you know. And it's very difficult to, you know. A lot of time, you know, we think that, oh, this service is good, this service is not good. And we have to do, why this such a difficult service is given to me. Like, you know, mostly like pot cleaning is considered as a difficult service. Or toilet cleaning, but you know, everybody is enthusiastic.
Some
transcendental state. They always like to do those things. So there are exceptional devotees.
Are you last to say, right? You should do whatever is needs to be done.
Need of the hour.
For the temple, we should do it.
Yeah. Need of the hours, yes. And similarly, the role of Yamaraj is very, very difficult role. And in fact, you know, what happens is, I mean, I might have given this example because I have given it many times, but you might have heard that when I generally go to my work, you know, a lot of people I see on the road, they are sleeping and they are completely drunk. Yeah. And I had to pass through that area to go through to my work after parking. So, where I come near that area, I think twice to go near, and you know, so I just take another route and go from the other side. Now one day, you know, I was just thinking that, you know, I do that, but the super soul is in the heart of the person. So how merciful is super soul? That this person is like this, I don't want to even go near to that person. That super soul is just next to that person, just waiting. So, you know, these are very difficult things when we contemplate on it, that it's a service. So these Narayan Parayana devotees, self-surrendered devotees, they are such a high quality devotees. They have, their vision is such high, you know, we can't even imagine. And, you know, these are all the points which is Prashila Prabhupada given. So, Maharaj Parikshit was a Narayana Parayana Bhakta. He's such a high standard devotee. And he was wrongfully cursed by the son of Shamika Rishi, Shringi. But he accepted it because he considered that as an opportunity to serve Lord. How will he serve? Because then in future he will hear the Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. And by him hearing, many other sages will come, and then it will eventually come to the entire world. Right. So this is the gist of this particular verse. Next verse. So once he gets this curse, what happens is he surrenders unto the spiritual master. Because he is about to die in 7 days. So he decided to surrender into the spiritual master. So furthermore, after leaving all his associates, the king surrendered himself as a disciple to the son of Vyasa, Sukadeva Goswami, and thus he was able to understand the actual position of the personality of Godhead. So as we see the last verse, it was Ante Narayana Smriti. How to attain Ante Narayana Smriti is by surrendering to a spiritually realized soul. That is the only way. That's what Srila Prabhupada gives in this purport. It's a pretty big purport. I'm not going to go through everything. So the word in the purport, say the word Ajita is significant here. The personality of God at Sri Krishna is known as Ajita or unconquerable, and he is so in every respect. No one can know his actual position. Then Prabhupada says the way to know his actual position is just by surrendering to a devotee in the line of disciplic succession. And when you surrender to a devotee like Sukadeva Goswami, so somewhere down the line, from Bhagavad Gita we understand that the quality of the Lord's energy that is superior to the material quality of the energy, and by the grace of the bona fide spiritual luster like Sukadeva Goswami, it is quite possible to know everything of the superior energy of the Lord, by which the Lord manifests his eternal name, quality, pastime, paraphernalia and variegatedness. Unless one thoroughly understands this superior or eternal energy of the Lord, it is not possible to leave the material energy. So we need to understand the Maya Shakti of the Lord in disciplic succession, in from a realized soul. He explains that to us. And knowing something, like, you know, Tadvidhi, the verse 4.34, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanena tattvadarshina. So how the knowledge transfer happens? So these books are also there. Like, for example, you know, if you want to learn driving, the books are there. So you can learn driving just by reading those books. But actual driving is quite different than learning it from the book. Then for actual driving you have to take a shelter of a bona fide driver who is qualified, bona fide instructor. Sit next to him, first of all submit to him.
That's very difficult.
Sit next to him, yeah.
And tolerate.
Tolerate, yes. Submissive means open hearted. Pranipatena, yes. Then pariprasnena, you ask questions. And in this terms, you know, seva is pay money. But sevaya is for the spiritual master, because we cannot repay the spiritual master. So the way to repay a spiritual master will be to perform menial service to him. And then the spiritual master shares his realized knowledge. He doesn't give you theoretical knowledge. He gives you what he has. Like, for example, we have $100. We can only give at the max $100, not anything more than that. So you can only give what you have. You cannot give what you don't have. So this is how the mercy is transferred. And this is what Prabhupada is saying here. Unless one is thoroughly understands the superior eternal energy of the Lord, it is not possible to leave the material world, however one may theoretically speculate on the true nature of the Absolute Truth. By the grace of Krishna, Maharaj Parikshit was able to receive the mercy of such a personality as Sukadeva Goswami. And thus he was able to know the actual position of the unconquerable Lord. So by the grace of the Lord, by the grace of the super soul, the things is revealed to us. It's already there. The spiritual knowledge is already within us, right? Because we are Satchitananda. So we already have the knowledge. The uncovering of the knowledge happens when the spiritual master is happy. Next verse.
न उक्तम श्लोक वरदानाम जुष्टम तत्कथा अर्थमृतम स्यात् सब्रह्मते कालेपि स्मर्तम तत्पतं भुजम.
This was so because those who have dedicated their lives to the transcendental topics of the personality of Godhead, to whom the Vedic hymn sings, and who are constantly engaged in remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, do not run the risk of having misconceptions even at the last moment of their lives. So the advantage of remembering Lord is that there is one specific word in the purport Prabhupada has given, is by scientific adaptation. So the highest perfection of the life is attained by remembering the transcendental nature of the Lord at the last moment of the life. That's Ante Narayana Smriti, right? Now, at the time of death, the bodily functional starts disintegrating. Like, for example, how many of you have experienced, like, you have a severe leg pain or a headache? Can you chant? No. This is very difficult, right? Or even a cold. So when our physical conditions are good, then chanting is possible or performing devotional service is possible. But we have a leg pain or headache or any other kind of little discomfort, the chanting or remembering Lord becomes extremely difficult. So Srila Prabhupada says, by scientific adaptation, thus a submissive disciple is able to live transcendentally and continue to the end of the life. So when we practice this by a scientific methodology, in a scientific way, understand, what is scientific way? Is understand, logically understand these things and apply in our life. When we apply these things in our life, this becomes a part of our life. That becomes a living, right? Now when we live like that as a Narayana Parayana, when by the grace of the Lord, when the death comes by the grace of the Lord, what happens is, even if we are not able to remember, the God or the Krishna gives you the empowerment that is okay, you will not be able to do it, but I will take care of you, right? We will hear this many times, that Lord Chaitanya will appear to the devotees. If you have lived your life very sincerely, then Lord Chaitanya at the time of the death, he will appear and he will take care of you. Don't have to worry about this. So if we apply this by scientific adaptation, one is able to remember the Lord even at the end of the life, when the power of remembrance is slackened due to the derangement of bodily membranes. Because then everything is getting dysfunctional, and at that time, you know, it's very difficult to remember. But if we have practiced, the whole thing is, if you have practiced during the life, it becomes easy. And the, by God's grace, by Krishna's grace, it happens.
So one thing I do when I cannot chant is I think of devotees, then I can chant. Mm. Also, once the devotees are nicely chanting, then I chant.
Yeah. Similarly, you know, all like you have this, then everybody will have their own thing. So whatever actually suits us to remember the Lord, it is good. You know.
Best example for that is, once there was a video of one Mataji, Prabhupada's disciple. She is 95 years old. Only thing she remembers
is Hare Krishna.
Isha or something, right?
Yeah.
What is the name of
Isha?
Isha, right?
Yeah.
Isha. Mother Isha.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So, when mercy of the Lord, she will only be able to remember
this thing. She doesn't need to remember anything else. Eh?
Anything else.
So, Krishna has actually taken away everything else. This is special, exactly. It looks to us like it's not a mercy, but actually, it's a special mercy. So for a common man, it is very difficult to remember things as they are at the time of death. But by the grace of the Lord and his bona fide devotees, the spiritual master, one can get this opportunity without difficulty. And it was done in case of Maharaj Parikshit. So, you know, beautiful arrangement was made for Maharaj Parikshit. He lived his life very sincerely, you know, practicing Krishna consciousness. So at the end of his life, you know, what happened? Sukadeva Goswami himself came and narrated the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. And all the sages were there present at the time of leaving his body. So though it looks that it was a very bad condition, but actually it was very good for him. Because he was able to leave the body in presence of all the devotees. Next verse. As long as the great powerful son of Abhimanyu remains the emperor of the world, there is no chance that the personality of Kali will flourish. So Maharaj Kali was so powerful that he didn't allow, as we saw last time, that he was ready to kill him. He didn't allow the personality of Kali to prosper in his presence. Because if the personality, he knew that if the personality of Kali will enter, he knew the effect of that, that he will destroy all the consciousness of everybody. So that's why he was ready to kill, but because the Kali surrendered, he gave him like five different places to stay. So Srila Prabhupada says, this is the way of a good government. The disturbing elements like the personality of Kali will always try to extend their nefarious activities, but it is the duty of the able state to check them all by all means. Although Maharaj Parikshit allotted places of for the personality of Kali, at the same time he gave no chance for the citizen to be swayed by the personality of Kali. So he made those arrangements because that was his duty as a king, to protect the spirituality and make, you know, the spiritual growth of the people should happen under their reign.
Current government is completely opposite.
Opposite, exactly.
He's letting people go through all the four things.
Yes.
Yeah. Earlier he was protecting people from going to all the four.
But nowadays, yeah, it's promoting all these things.
No, they're promoting legislation. Marijuana.
Yasmin Ahani. भगवान उत्सृजगम तदा अधर्मा वेरी डे एंड द मोमेंट द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड एंड लॉर्ड श्री कृष्णा लेफ्ट द अर्थ द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ कली हु प्रमोट्स ऑल काइंड ऑफ रिलीजियस एक्टिविटीज केम इन टू दिस वर्ल्ड एज सून एज कृष्णा लेफ्ट कली वॉज जस्ट वेटिंग लाइक इफ सीन दिस पिक्चर इज जस्ट वेटिंग एज सून एज कृष्णा लेफ्ट कली एंटर्ड. So, it's a big purport and very interesting, but the gist of this thing is that if the ruler is powerful, like Maharaj Parikshit, he is a powerful king. If the ruler is powerful, he will not allow this kind of things to enter into his arena. So similarly, it is a role of the devotee to not allow the things into their arena. That's the whole idea of this particular one. Next verse. Maharaj Parikshit. Okay. Saranga iva desharak buk kulosyas asu sadhyanti netarani kraniyat. Maharaj Parikshit was a realist like a bee who only accepts the essence of the flower. He knew perfectly well that in the age of Kali, auspicious things produce good effect immediately, whereas inauspicious acts must be actually performed to render effect. So he was never envious of the personality of Kali. So Maharaj Parikshit, you know, he knew that the age of Kali has all bad characteristics, except one. Actually, one or two we can add. And that one of the characteristics is that in the age of Kali, if you think of something, the reaction of that, you won't get it. Think of a bad act. But if you think of a pious act, you get the reaction of good reaction to that. So it's a double-edged thing. Like, you know, you think of something bad, until unless you don't do it, you don't get the reaction. And if you think of something good, like if you think of, I am going to make a nice, beautiful temple for Krishna, you get a benefit. But I think Prabhupada was saying, don't always build temples in your dream. This is a thing when he said we are building this temple. That you get the benefit, but you have to physically make it.
One of
the
writers, Gaurangu, told the same part. So when somebody comes asking you for donation,
$100,000.
I've given him not just mine, he also
give you a check.
Yeah, so you don't have anything, that's fine.
So that is the whole idea of this particular verse, that, you know, and he was like a bee, you know, it goes into a flower and extracts the nectar. So this is the nectar in the age of Kali. Another thing is, just by remembering and chanting Krishna's name, you get deliverance. That is the biggest nectar, actually. So he knew these things, and that's why he was non-envious of the age of Kali. I'm trying to go a little fast because Mataji has class. I'm not going to the purport has the description to the whatever I said.
Kim
Maharaj Parikshit considered that less intelligent men might find it, the personality of Kali to be very powerful, but that those who are self-controlled would have nothing to fear. The king was so powerful like a tiger that he took care of the foolish, careless person. So because it's a duty of the king to protect the citizen and help them in building their spirituality or developing their spirituality, so if Kali is attacking, it will be impediment to the people, right? It will bring their consciousness down. So that's why he had to protect his people and bring them up spiritually. So that's why he says that anybody who is like spiritually strong, for them Kali will not cause any problems. But people who are weak, for them Kali is definitely going to cause problems. So those who are not a devotee of the Lord are careless and unintelligent. Unless one is thoroughly intelligent, one cannot be a devotee of the Lord. Sumedasha, right? That's why that word Sumedasha is it. Those who are not a devotee of the Lord fall prey to the actions of the Kali. It will not be possible to bring about a saner condition in the society unless we are prepared to accept the modes of action adapted by Maharaj Parikshit. That is a propagation of the devotional service of the Lord to a common man. So this becomes our duty actually, propagation of this to how to live a spiritual life. This is after learning we will have to do. So this is same as the role which Maharaj Parikshit took. So preaching is nothing but it's an instrument, you know, to fight against the age of Kali. So by preaching we can act as if like Maharaj Parikshit, what he did. So this is acting dutifully. The last verse.
Uparvatam etatva punyam parikshitam maya vasudeve katha upetam akhyayam yadat prishtha.
So this is Suta Goswami is saying that, O sages, as you asked me, now I have described almost everything regarding the narrations about Lord Krishna in connection with the history of the pious Maharaj Parikshit. So here, yes, the sages are asking questions. They are interested. They were in the beginning, so they are all excited about hearing about Maharaj Parikshit. What happened? How he took birth? What are his activities? Because in the previous chapter, they heard about that how he drives away Kali. So in this beginning of this chapter, Maharaj Parikshit's birth is said, then you know, described how he appeared, it described, and how Lord Krishna protected him, and then at the end how he is kicking off Kali from his kingdom. That's what is described. So Srila Prabhupada is saying in this that Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but it is the pastime of the devotees and the Lord. And if you read this purport, it is said the Srimad Bhagavatam is the history of the activities of the Lord, and the activities of the Lord are performed in relation with the devotees of the Lord. Therefore, the history of the devotees is non-different from the history of Lord Krishna's activities. A devotee of the Lord regards both activities of the Lord and those of his pure devotees as devotees on an equal level, for they are all transcendental. So any pastimes where Lord is involved as well as or his devotees are involved, these are all transcendental, divyam, above the three modes of material nature. So with this, I'll stop.